Okay.
It's on record.
All right, it's now 1:30 on this 23rd day of July, 2026. It's time for today's Canyon County Board of Commissioners public hearing. This will be regarding case number CR2025-0006. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. To my left is Commissioner Zach Brooks, and Commissioner Leslie Van Beek is absent today. The DSD staff and any additional exhibits received by the established materials deadline have been posted on the county's website on the land use hearing page for anyone to review. Potential conflicts of interest. Before we begin testimony, are there any declarations pertaining to this application, such as conversations or meetings outside of this hearing received by any commissioner?
No, Mr. Chairman.
No for myself. Is there any commissioner who, for reasons of a conflict of interest, requests to be excused from participating in this specific decision?
No, Mr. Chairman.
No for myself. So if you would, everybody in the gallery, please silence your phones, if you could and should. The commissioner's room is electronically records all the public hearings. We can pick up your conversation from person to person. So unless you want that memorialized forward into history, take your conversations outside into the hall. Otherwise, it will be recorded. As chairman, I will maintain order by restricting inappropriate discussion or disorderly conduct, and if necessarily, will ask you to step outside in the event you are disruptive or inappropriate. At this time, I'll explain the rules of procedures for today's hearing, consistent with Canyon County Ordinances Chapter 1, Article 17, and Chapter 7, Article 1. The applicant has the burden of proof. The applicant or their representative will go first today with their testimony limited to 10 minutes. The board may have questions for the applicant, which will not count against their time. The DSD staff will go next, and the board may have questions for staff. Additional questions by the board to staff can happen at any time during today's hearing. Then it'll be followed up by those who have signed and have been sworn in to testify. You'll have, those individuals will have up to 3 minutes of testimony time. We ask that this testimony be non-repetitive. Since the applicant has the burden proof, they will go last and are permitted about 5 minutes of rebuttal testimony time to answer additional questions by the board. That time won't count. Once public comment is closed, we will deliberate and render a decision. Request for those testifying. So if you've signed up, has everybody came into the gallery who wanted to testify today, have you signed up? Okay, I'm going to assume that you have. So when your name is called, come up and just have a chair in front of us and pull the microphone down close to your mouth so we can get that, and the people that are sitting behind you, they can hear what you're saying. So when you're called, your name's called, the first thing I need you to do is sit down and then state your name and your address before you begin any public testimony. Don't worry if you forget. Commissioner Brooks usually helps remind everybody. He's on that. So we'd like you to try to adhere to the 3 minutes, but if we start with conversations or questions, that won't count against that. We will not be accepting any new documents or other written materials at this hearing. All materials to be relied on as part of the record were required to be submitted by the advertised deadline, which was a minimum of 10 days ago. Materials received by that deadline have automatically been included in the record, and we have received them. This deadline is to provide ample time for inclusion in the staff report packet, the hearing body review, and the full transparency and access for the public. The submissions of late documents or other materials does not allow all parties time to address the material or allow sufficient time for public review. If in your verbal testimony you refer to an exhibit we have received or use specific verbal descriptions of what you're referring to, so such as an exhibit number or what's up on the screen. So if we have to make a full written recording of this, we can make that as part of the references. All right, so I am ready for the swearing in.
So Karen Dismini, John Sisk, Jim Martin, and Carla Nelson, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so we're going to begin now with the applicant's testimony, so they or their representative can come up and you'll have 10 minutes. Don't be nervous. Everybody's calm and we want to hear what you need to say.
Can you hear me?
Good.
I'm Karen DeSemini. Address is 29672 Grandview Road, Parma, Idaho, 83660.
You may begin.
I may begin?
You bet.
Good afternoon. I am Karen DeSemini, the current property owner of 29672 Grandview Road in Parma. I am asking for this property to be rezoned and divided into two residential properties of approximately 1.3 acres. We have agreed to the condition of no more housing to be placed on either one of these properties. And there will also be an agreement in place between, we have a shared well and a shared driveway, and there will be an agreement put in place, and I will include that in the title paperwork, so it is for perpetuum that these will be shared. First, let me say that I do understand Canyon County's continued protection of agriculture land. I was raised on a ranch in eastern Oregon. My father was a farmer rancher for 40-plus years, and my son currently farms as well. I have no wish to see these large tracts of farmland being turned into more housings and subdivisions. It breaks my heart. With this being said, the property I am requesting to be rezoned is currently considered agriculture. However, in my humble opinion, the term agriculture applies more to the spirit than the actual usage of this land right now. To be able to use this property for ag purposes would be almost physically and fiscally impossible. Located in front of my property is my septic tanks and my leach fields. It can't drive heavy equipment over leach fields, and so we are really unable to successfully farm that small bit of land we have left. I have no irrigation rights to any of the ditch water around there, and our well is not able to produce enough water to successfully irrigate any crops. I have included a copy of our well report that shows our water output is capable of 45 gallons per minute, and it's not able to irrigate crops and take care of our housing needs at the same time. In order to plant and maintain a crop of any on the small plot of land that we do have without water rights, and with our well and leach field placements, it would be virtually impossible. So any type of agriculture is beyond our current garden is really out of questions. And we do have a large garden that we have in the back. Exhibit B26, it shows we have prime farmland that surrounds us, but only the properties in use for major ag are. We have the Nelson Family Holdings, we have Apple Valley Land Company, Golden West, and I know we have Mann Dairy down the road from us. The rest of the land is small residential properties, even if they're currently zoned agriculture. If you look at the Canyon County ID web map, you can see that we are surrounded by 11 other small properties. Thus, we feel that the impact to any nearby agriculture land, agriculture-based businesses and options were already impacted when the original land that we live on was subdivided in 2001 and prior. Additionally, 7 other pieces of property have this limited availability to have ag use because of their current infrastructure of well, septic tanks, and leach fields. And they also have the lack of irrigation water rights. I believe that this also supports how, even if this land is designated as agriculturally zoned, its ability to support any further agriculture operations is long past. It will not be impacted by a request to change our zoning. I do want to address the 2 letters of dissent that we received in our prior hearing. The letter, Growing Together Advisory Board, states that this rezone would create a door for other properties to be rezoned and create small properties and flood this area with subdivision-type feel. However, we believe this was done when they initially subdivided this piece of land that we live on now into parcels smaller than 5 acres, sold off to individuals. I believe the letter that we received from the Growing Together would have had a greater impact when they did subdivide this land back in 2001. In regards to the letter from Snake River Canyon Scenic Byway, I would merely ask that you consider their letter rationally in regards to the following. 1, my property is not close enough to the Snake River for the agriculture nature of the byways to be impacted. If you look at the pictures provided of the property, I can't see the Snake River in any way, shape, or form. They can't see me either. Two, they mention a, quote, negative impact on traffic and movement of farm equipment, unquote, providing a, quote, dangerous situation. We are not changing anything about what we are currently doing with our property. Traffic and farm equipment will continue to go up and down the road in front of us, as it has always done for the past 4 years we've lived there. The insertion of a residential zone will not change the essential nature of the agriculture character of this area. When we asked for the neighborhoods to comment, we sent the letters out requested, and we asked for comments. Nobody came to our meeting. Nobody had any problems, nobody called, nobody talked to us. We are surrounded by a wonderful neighborhood and wonderful people, and I'm certain we're not going to be starting a trend in this neighborhood. I will close with this. Currently, Canyon County Code 07-06-07 (3) specifically states that a conditional rezone of a parcel does not set a precedent that adjacent property should be rezoned the same. I respectfully ask that you consider and grant a request for this zoning change. Thank you for your time.
All right. So you mentioned those two groups that had a negative thing. I got a little bit muddled. It was Growing Together gave some...
Growing Together advisories that they said if we subdivided that everybody else around us is going to want to subdivide, and then we're going to have these itty-bitty little subdivisions growing around our area. That was the gist of their letter.
And what was the other group? And what was
the other group was...
Scenic byway?
The Snake River Scenic Byway. They thought we would destroy the look of the scenic byway, but we're set far enough back from the river, and there's a huge bluff between where you go. It's like a drop to even see the river.
Okay.
So we have no impact on that.
And the Snake River Scenic Byway, was that from officially communication from their group or from individuals?
No, it was from a group. There was those two letters that they sent into the...
Thank you for that clarification. All right. Do you have any questions?
I do not, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Looking at the aerial,
mm-hmm.
and I'm assuming I'm talking about going to the east. There seems to be a row of trees that are going there between that and the end of the actively farmed field to the east.
That row of trees right next to it is the Nelson Farm.
Okay.
That's where we've had corn, and I think they plant, it's all turned into silage is what it is.
Okay.
And a rye grass is what they put in first, and then they put the corn in.
Oh.
So that's what that property is. You go down the road, and I think we've got sugar beets this year. We've had potatoes. We've had corn. So those are the two big ones around that I know of.
Okay. But the row of trees that are there, that's there perpetually.
There is like a little ditch that runs in there. It's a waterway.
Okay, I couldn't see it from
the
aerial.
Yeah, you can't really see it, but I don't know where the source of it is. Behind that picture, I'm terrible, north, south, east, or west. I'm really sorry. You go down, there is an island down, kind of an island back behind there, and I think there's water that comes from there through that. I'm not certain where that water comes from.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right.
Mr. Chairman, I'm curious. The aerial in the staff report must be much older than the picture that you just had on the screen, Carla. The one in the staff report doesn't have the second mobile home there. So I'm really glad I just saw the picture there. How long has the second house been there?
We had to have our house first. And then John and Peggy put their house on. As soon as we had our house on and we met all requirements of Canyon County, they put on. So they're about 6 months behind us. This Thanksgiving, it'll be 4 years for us.
Oh, okay.
22.
Okay.
So somewhere in the fall or summer of 22, you finished yours.
Yes.
And they turned right around and did
yes.
theirs.
That was our plan all along, was
okay.
to.
Okay. My whole point with that, Mr. Chairman, was now I have a better understanding seeing where this thing was going to be divided.
There you go.
Right down the middle. That's my that's
sense
what
now
I would
with
like
both
to
both houses there. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Mm-mm. I might have a follow-up question for your rebuttal, but we'll have staff talk next. Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners.
Good afternoon.
Today Today I'm presenting a proposed conditional rezone. The applicant is Karen Desimini. The applicant requests a conditional rezone of 2.6 acres from the agricultural to the single family residential zone. The request includes a development agreement allowing for a maximum of one division, and secondary residences will be prohibited. If the request is approved, a subsequent subdivision application will be submitted. The subject property is located approximately 2 miles south of Payette County and 4.4 miles north of the city of Parma. The subject property was platted as Lot 3, Block 1 of the Studite subdivision in 2001. If the conditional rezone is approved, the applicant intends to re-subdivide the property into two lots so that the current residence and secondary residence can be separately owned. No additional residential dwellings will be allowed beyond what has already been developed on the property. The 8 conditional rezone criteria found in Canyon County Zoning Code are listed on this slide. Each question must be answered with adequate evidence. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended denial based on criteria 1 and 2. The first criteria focuses on consistency with the 2030 comprehensive plan. The plan designates the property for future agricultural, not residential zoning, and the Planning and Zoning Commission found that the request is not consistent with at least 3 goals and 7 policies in the plan. Regarding criteria 2, the Planning and Zoning Commission found that the proposed zoning is not more appropriate than the current zoning. The area is still primarily zoned agricultural, and crop production is occurring 400 feet to the east. The closest single-family residential zoning in Canyon County is found 4 miles to the southeast near Parma, and there are no recent land use cases within a 1 mile radius to indicate that the area is trending towards residential zoning. For criteria 3 and 4, the Planning and Zoning Commission found that the proposed conditional rezone would be compatible with surrounding land uses and would not negatively affect the character of the area. The character of the area is rural, with many residential lots under 5 acres in size. Within the 600-foot notification radius, 3 of the 13 lots are smaller than the one-acre minimum lot size allowed within the proposed R1 single-family residential zone. And several other similarly sized lots are found within a 1 mile radius. There are 9 subdivisions within a 1 mile radius of the property. 8 of the 9 were platted in the early 1900s, primarily with 5 acre lots, many of which could be reestablished or further divided through an administrative land division process, resulting in more residential uses in this area. If approved, the character of the area will remain unchanged, as the conditions of approval will prohibit secondary residences. The existing residences on the property will continue to be occupied and no changes will be experienced on the ground. The project will have adequate facilities to support the development. The applicant proposes no physical changes. Again, the homes are currently served with a shared individual well and shared septic system. Comments from Southwest District Health indicate that they're not concerned with the proposal. The applicant will need to demonstrate compliance with requirements at the time of subdivision platting. A shared well agreement will be required. The property does not have surface irrigation water rights, but is served with an active groundwater right that allows for 2 acres of irrigation for one home. Water can be split equally between the lots if a shared well agreement is provided to the Idaho Department of Water Resources. Legal access to the property comes from a shared driveway onto Grandview Road, which is a local public road. A shared access easement and a maintenance agreement will be provided with the preliminary plat. ITD did not have any traffic concerns, and there does not appear to be a need to mitigate traffic impacts. As no additional dwellings will be constructed, the proposed use is not anticipated to impact essential public services or facilities. There were no comments received from school, district, or the police. Parma Fire Department confirmed that they approved and signed off on the residences and driveway when the building permits were approved, and no additional conditions will be required. These are images of the existing homes on the subject property facing north and south. These photos show Grandview Road in front of the subject property facing west and east. More photos can be found in Exhibit 3C of the staff report. At the expiration of the materials deadline, no new public comments were received. In total, 9 agency comments and 2 public comments were received, which can be found in Exhibits 3D, 3E, and 4 of the staff report. The Board of County Commissioners may approve or deny the conditional rezone or table or continue the hearing to a later date and request additional information. Here is another aerial view of the property, and I will stand for any questions you may have.
Just describe for me, if I'm authorizing a shared driveway, shared well, shared septic system, do we have that delineated in a user's agreement?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, that will be required with the preliminary plat, so that will be part of that process. They will have to do that as a requirement.
Okay. But I'm experimenting with the theory of not setting a precedence, and if I do it on a condition, if I do it as conditions within the conditional use permit, then that sets this application out and apart from somebody else coming along later and saying, well, you gave them one, you give me one. This is what I'm trying to delineate, that this is a unique situation, has some similarities of yesterday's land use issue that we wrestled with, and yeah, this one's different. I'm just experimenting with putting it into a condition as a conditional rezone rather than waiting for it to come along as specified in the preliminary plat.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, you could certainly add that condition with the conditional rezone if you'd like. This is what we're suggesting, conditions on this slide from staff.
Okay. I agree, it gets down into the nitty-gritty that we typically don't do. Other comments or questions?
I don't have any questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, let's have those who have signed up to testify have the opportunity.
John Sisk. Jim Martin.
So do I need to come up there?
Yes, yes, please. You know, you have a big, beautiful voice, and we got
a couple of questions. You like it, not hearing, I'm about half deaf in one ear.
Okay.
Due to my lifetime in construction.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but I think in what you put on the board, there was two people opposed this. Is that right?
We need to start with your name and address first.
I'm sorry. My name is Jim Martin. I live at 29722 Grandview Road, Parma, Idaho.
Perfect.
I'm a neighbor.
All right. Good to go.
By the way, I did sign a piece of paper a few years prior to them buying this that could have two pieces of two dwellings on it, which I don't have a problem, you know. I'm curious about who would oppose that. Can I get that information?
Well, it said that it was Growing Together and Snake River Scenic Byway. That's so they're both groups. They aren't individuals.
That don't surprise me, because we have good neighbors out there, other than one. But that don't surprise me either. Is anything I say going to be held against them? Yeah, my reasoning is, aren't they legally, didn't they get permits for those two dwellings? Did they get permits for the two dwellings?
Yes, but it's a separate subject. You're dealing with the law.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so they're coming in with a different question than whether they got the two different dwellings legally. Now they're wanting to take one lot and split it into two. That's a legal step, and this is what we're entertaining. Yeah.
They want to do an acre and a third, right?
Yeah.
I live on an acre and a third right next to them. I don't see a problem. Just, you know, I got to be honest with you. I've been in construction. I know all these games, man. Like 50 years worth. So anyway.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Anybody else? All right.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we close public testimony.
Well, do we need to ask if she has a rebuttal on anything? Do you have anything to add or subtract?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. This is your opportunity if you want to do that. Okay, all right. Now I'll entertain a motion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I still move that we close public testimony.
All right. I'd second the motion. Motion's been made and seconded to close public testimony. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. It's your turn today. I spoke first yesterday.
Mr. Chairman, I have reviewed the staff report that Ms. Nelson presented to P&Z, and I am in support of approving this application. When I first started reading this, I went to the same place that you mentioned, as well as similar aspects of a different case that we just adjudicated. But this is definitely different in substantial ways, in my opinion, to a place that we can approve it. So, and the main one being, this is a conditional rezone that's going to have a development agreement with those conditions in there. The other one did not.
Okay.
And this is in a totally different area. Both houses obviously exist, and even with the split, like testimony was just given, it will. The two new parcels will still be in general conformity with the neighbors. So there's, I see no issues in improving this.
Okay. I just want to talk through it a little bit deeper on verbiage. I know it's standard protocol to not do this and then allow it to be required at preliminary plat. But I'm concerned about making this defendable and unique to other ones that come in who just want to do the division of the ground before the building's built or whatever they're doing. And Trent, chime in if you want. Just do a fifth or a sixth one there that says a condition is that we are requiring that there's a user's maintenance agreement for the well, the septic tank, and the driveway. Rather than just letting it go to preliminary plat and requiring it before that. And you understand my reasoning. You all are great people. But we're having other people move into the area that are not neighborly and they don't care. And if worst case scenario, somebody bought one of these houses and became a bad neighbor, I'm authorizing this or considering authorizing this, and it could put the existing homeowner in a terrible position with a new owner coming in and not willing to do anything. And so I want to cut it off at the pass if I can. So. All right. So is that amenable? Okay, perfect. So if we could have a fifth one that addresses the user's agreement on those items, that's a requirement, I would consider approval for this.
I'm good with it, Mr. Chairman.
Trent, do you see any issue on that? Just add.
No, I think that was discussed on the record as it was. So.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay. All right. Then,
Mr. Chairman, for the sake of time and brevity here, again, I reviewed what Carla provided to P&Z, which came out with finding each one of the criteria were met. I'm good with what she has provided. And if she will include anything that we have commented here that is not included in her current suggestion for FCOs, along with your recommended condition to be added, I'm in favor of approving this.
Okay. Carla, do you see any problem with, I guess we'd just ask that you would review what we would be. I also went through the criteria on the 8 questions, and I am more in agreement with staff than I am with the planning and zoning. So, like Commissioner Brooks said, if there's anything else that we've had during this deliberation time that needs to be added into that, add that in, and then bring back that document in writing. The board will review it and sign it at that point.
Chairman, Commissioners, I will review the minutes and add in any additional comments.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I guess in light of our discussion with the most recent case that was very similar to this, another one of the big differences is secondary residences. Because that other application did not have the capability of having a development agreement where those could be restricted, that was significant in our decision to deny that one.
Right.
And where this one has it already in the conditions that no secondary residences will be allowed, that makes it a lot easier to approve.
It does.
In this instance.
That's the major difference between yesterday and today. This applicant chose to do this extra work and come with a proposed agreement before. During this whole process, the public didn't have that opportunity to see what that might have even looked like theoretically, and the burden of proof is upon the applicant. So.
All right. Are you ready for a motion? Mr. Chairman, I move to approve CR 2025-0006, finding the application does meet the criteria for approval under Article 7-6-7 sub 6 of Canyon County Zoning Ordinance with the conditions listed in the staff report and the addition of the condition that was discussed on the record.
All right. I would second that motion. So motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Very good. So it is approved with those conditions. So they will have the written conditions out in the next 1 to 5 weeks, depending on how Carla's boss allows her allocation of time. So the board will look at that and get that signed, and then you're off to the races after that document signed by us. But today it's approved. So
Thank you, very
good. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I have to make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's consider ourselves adjourned.